Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
A night of reds in the Champions League. No more holidays to Messi's hotel. And is Jude on the move? Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Wednesday the 8th of December. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along to Wednesday's Ramble. Jim, Andy, good to see you both.
Likewise.
How are you? You all right?
Yeah, good. I'm a little bit disturbed because it looked like Jim was doing a sort of rock and roll dance in his chair.
Did it?
The theme tune.
I didn't realise.
I think you were just like moving.
Just swiveling in my chair like a little boy, essentially.
You've been called average today already, Jim, haven't you?
Have I?
5 out of 10 on the cameras.
That's not quite what happened, is it? It was declared that I look all right in terms of the camera folk. Oh, God.
You look lovely.
I feel undermined
now. Have you been marked by L'Equipe?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'll tell you what, last night in the Champions League, there wasn't much jeopardy on it for any of the English teams, shall we say, but still some quite tasty games, actually. There was a few interesting ones. Let's start with Leipzig beating Manchester City by 2-1. Didn't see that result coming, Andy, especially after they sacked their manager at the weekend.
No, I guess the difference is they had something to play for, which Guardiola underlined in typically intense terms at the end. But given that it was, if you talk about the game as in like the parameters of what it actually was, dead rubber, empty stadium, them playing I Feel Good by James Brown for like way too long after a goal, as they always do, you'd be thinking, yeah, I can't watch this. But it was actually pretty watchable.
Yeah, yeah. It sort of had no right to be as good as it was.
No,
did it?
Exactly.
It was because it, you know, for all intents and purposes, it was a little bit of a dead rubber. But it was like, it was pretty full-blooded. It got quite tetchy and quite tasty and was weirdly atmospheric despite there being nobody in the stadium. And at first 10 minutes or so, it was like, it was a real reminder of how far we've come out of the pandemic, because it was horrible with no atmosphere. Mm. But actually, the game was really good despite itself.
It does feel strange now, doesn't it, when you see these games in empty stadiums, a little bit like at the weekend we saw some in the Bundesliga as well, no crowds there. And you just forget, actually, how much of a difference the fans have made, Andy.
Yeah, it's absolutely right. And I saw recently Premier League years that they did of last season already. And yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah.
Just because of that and all the, you know, all the tarp over the seats behind the goal and all that sort of stuff. But I guess at the moment you're convincing yourself it's a one-off. There'll be another one-off tonight. Of course, there's one at Ajax as well last night. Bayern Barcelona tonight is going to be behind closed doors. But yeah, the players made their own entertainment. And none more so, I would argue, than Kyle Walker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about that red card then, Jim? I mean, obviously, it's late on in the game. He's probably just lost his head a bit, hasn't he?
Yeah. I wonder if it's a bit more existential than that. Because you ever sometimes, like, you're walking along a bridge, and you're like, I could just jump off this. Like, I'm not gonna, but like, I could. What if I make motions to do it? Have free will?
You see, my version of that was going into an exam as a kid and thinking, if I don't write anything, I'd get 0%. I've never felt that with a bridge.
I felt it when I've gone to like the top of a really tall building. Like, you know when you're on holiday and you go see the sights? Like, I've been top of Eiffel Tower.
You both feel like
top
this.
Top of the Empire State Building, and I've gone to the edge and gone, ah, oh, I could actually fall off here. Or yeah. I could actually jump. Or yeah. Fall.
Well, it's
either
just,
or.
I'm terrified.
I've actually got sweaty palms at the thought because I'm so terrified of heights. But I have had that feeling, Jim. I know exactly what you mean.
So I think Kyle Walker has gone, I could just kick him.
I could just get sent off.
Yeah.
Sod it.
Oh, I've done it. Oh, God. Oh, no.
What was he thinking about? When's the next game? February, middle of Feb? Maybe it's a family's birthday
something.
He's like, you know, I don't fancy that.
Don't judge everyone by Neymar's standards. No. Come on. It must be so infuriating if you're Guardiola. And he had the same thing in
his
the,
reaction was amazing.
In the Real Madrid Inter game as well. And Nicolò Barella got sent off in that for what can I only describe? I was describing it at the time as he sort of punched Eder Militao in the leg when he'd fallen over in a chat. It looked so weird. It looked like that Newcastle fan punching the horse. And, like, basically, he punched him in the leg, and because he's so small, he like crawled through his legs to escape afterwards. And he's like, I want to get you.
Where have you gone?
the Guardiola thing. My friend Archie Rintoul was interviewing him.
I love Archie. I love his interviews. They're always so good.
They are amazing. And he did very well to keep it going after being, you know that thing when you ask a question and they give you a really short answer and you're like, all right.
It's really okay. Awkward, isn't it?
And he goes, it's a red card. He was obviously so fuming about it. That sort of, you know, normally he does that passive aggressive, well, you know, you're going to hear the tune later, aren't you? The I'm so happy bit. But there, he was just absolutely fixed eyes, just full of rage, wasn't
he? Absolutely livid he was. He said, I'm not coming here to say what will happen in the dressing room. I mean, I wonder what he actually said.
Yeah.
I'd love to know.
Well, it does give him a big problem immediately in the next round, doesn't it? Because Kyle Walker, barring injury, would definitely have started.
Absolutely.
And he's such a potent weapon for lots of reasons that we've discussed before. It's such a weird decision from him. And it does look like a decision. It doesn't seem to be that it's clumsy. It's just like, he's just kicked him.
It's not
for no real reason.
It's not a misjudged tackle, is it?
Really weird. No, unless strange. It was so misjudged that it appears to be something completely different, but I doubt that from Kyle Walker. Really weird.
I love that we were reminded, though, of just how terrifying Pep Guardiola can be.
Yeah.
Because he is quite scary when he gets into that really angry sort of disappointed father kind of type, if you know what I mean. It reminds me of like when I was a kid and my mum would say, don't let me get the wooden spoon out. And I'd sit there and think, oh shit. And sometimes she'd go to the drawer as well. And she'd reach for it just to show me she means it.
Wow.
And I'd be like, all right, I'll behave. I promise. I'll eat my vegetables.
If you got a sort of
I'll eat all the sprouts.
Misery memoir coming out about your awful childhood.
No, because you know what? I was never.
She beat me with a wooden spoon and then I won a tennis tournament and I met Sean Paul.
I was actually never that bad that it ever actually happened. It was always just a warning.
Yeah.
But my mum was quite terrifying as a child. Almost as terrifying as Pep.
We had a biology teacher who threatened us with a metal ruler.
Oh, yeah. That's
Yeah, they used to have metal rulers at my school, and kids did essentially stab each other like very lightly with them. Wow. Why were we allowed to have those?
No, that's a good question.
Yeah. Anyways, so that was the sending off in that match. We'll come on to the other red cards last night because there was an extraordinary amount of red cards, 6 in total, which is the joint most ever in a single day in the Champions League. But before we talk about those other red cards, let's just do a little recap of City's performance overall. I thought Zach Steffen was really good in goal, actually.
He was,
And Leipzig could have scored more goals. But it was the first start for Kevin De Bruyne, first club start since the beginning of November. How do you think he looked? I thought he pinged some really nice balls into the box.
Yeah, there was a little bit of De Bruyne there, but the whole thing, like first half, though, was super rusty. They obviously weren't rusty. Maybe he was rusty. But I guess you've got to judge it in the context of their overall performance, because Guardiola said afterwards how it was a training session and, you know, they would, you know, go over there and have a bit of nice dinner. I thought, why would you say that? I mean, lots of people looked at it from that motivates Leipzig angle. The way I looked at it, he always talks about the worst mistake of his managerial career being when he was in Germany. And he said before they played Augsburg, I think it was, in the league, in the first season he was there, that they asked him about the game. He said, for us, the league's over. And he said, when I said that, it made the players just drop a little bit of intensity. And then after that, they go on and lose the semi-final of the Champions League to Real Madrid. They don't go on and complete treble, despite playing fantastic football all season. So I was absolutely astonished that Guardiola, knowing, and he's a man who's so focused on details, that is the worst mistake that he's ever made in his coaching career. Why would come out and do like basically the same thing all over again? I was really, really surprised by that.
Because it was a pretty experimental lineup, wasn't it? Obviously, De Bruyne's got to come back into it. He's told Kyle Walker to play like an MMA fighter for some reason. And obviously, Jack Grealish playing as a false nine as well. This is a good opportunity to try that out while he's trying to get the best out of Grealish. But it didn't quite click, did it? But again, you know, De Bruyne's got to get back up to fitness. We saw he had a pretty good free kick like this. He's there, isn't he? He's just warming up again. I personally, at the start of the season, I made a plea to every club to try a little bit harder when they're playing against any club who's playing in that absolutely shocking Puma kit. And I wonder if that message has started to filter through.
Well done, yeah.
Yeah, right.
I think it has. Yeah, good shout. Right, let's talk about them red cards then. 3 of them actually came in one game in Portugal. Unbelievable match this one sounded like. Atletico Madrid beat Porto by 3-1. That result for them meant that they're actually through to the knockout stages of the Champions League. They started the day bottom of the group of death, which is the same group as
Liverpool. I mean, how do they bloody do it?
I don't know, but Simeone has done it yet again. But Andy, talk us through these 3 absolute moments of insanity in the match.
The chronology of it was very entertaining. So Atletico are 1-0 up. They've just got a grip on the game for the first time, having been outplayed for the first part of it. Then Yannick Carrasco takes a swing at Otavio, and he has to go. There's a big melee. And Porto do kind of provoke this. They hold onto the ball a bit too long, but they couldn't have imagined the upshot of Carrasco like swinging a punch like that. It's sort of as if you left out a mince pie for Santa and ended up with like 150 Christmas presents. That's the sort of thing it was. And then you think, okay, Porto have got themselves an in because they've got a man's advantage. They've got 25 minutes left. 3 minutes later, Atletico, and let's be clear about this, buy themselves a red card back.
This is it. Unreal. It's one of the best sights in football. Atletico going down to 10 men and then what they do after that is one of the funniest things that you will see. And it happened again.
Now, Wendell, he does love a, a bit of nonsense. The Porto player who got sent off, he certainly did when he was in Germany.
They'll know that, right, though. They'll have done their like homework on the pressure points if you go down to 10.
Yeah, they've probably got a dossier, whereas most have got, like, you know, here's for the goalkeeper, here's where everyone puts their penalties. Yeah.
Here's who get wound up.
Yeah. And but Wendell is usually the winder rather than the windy.
Oh.
And he sticks his elbow out, goes nowhere near Cunha's face, and he properly Neymar's it. Very, very good backwards fall, I thought. And you've got to have confidence in yourself and exactly where you are on the pitch.
Spread your back so you don't hurt yourself.
Exactly. And then there he went. And Marchisi, the Porto reserve goalkeeper, went as well.
But if that wasn't enough, I fancy getting involved in some of this red bonus card action.
Yeah, exactly.
Next thing is like, get the keeper sent off. They haven't got another one.
The two things I particularly enjoyed is initially when Wendell put the elbow up, you couldn't see it because there was a graphic on the screen. It's like, you're going to have to leave the graphics off the screen because there's too much going on and we need to be able to see all of it. And there's this big melee afterwards with Diego Simeone right in the middle of it.
Oh, obviously. Of course he was. I mean, it's unbelievable. What a result for them. Through to the knockout stages after starting the day bottom of the group. And that's also because Milan lost to Liverpool. Liverpool actually made quite a few changes in the game, but Liverpool came out the winners by 2-1. Milan actually took the lead at the beginning of the game, so it looked like it was all going to be really exciting. And then Liverpool just did Liverpool and managed to come back and get the victory. I watched this game and I thought it was really interesting match, actually. But I loved some of Jurgen Klopp's quotes in this one. I think he came out with some absolute corkers. He said that the medical department would smash him if he didn't rotate before the game, and that the squad players certainly stepped up. Nat Phillips sent Zlatan Ibrahimovic completely the wrong way with a delicious turn in the game, didn't he, Andy?
He did. And Nat Phillips has been talked up so much by Jurgen Klopp recently. He's been giving a lot of love these fringe players. He's almost been building towards this selection.
He has to. They're going to lose players in January for AFCON.
Absolutely. And, you know, he said about Origi, you know, what did he say at the weekend about it would be
one
nice if he had a manager.
Ever seen,
yeah,
it?
And it would be
called
nice if
legend.
He had a manager who would pick him more and all that sort of stuff. But that was fantastic. Ibrahimovic didn't have one of his best nights.
He tried an overhead kick. I thought to myself, only Mopé does those, mate. Don't try it, son. Don't try it. Klopp joked as well that Zlatan was as old as his bench, which was my favourite line of the night, Jim.
Yeah, he's that mobility is starting to wane, isn't it? You can see it with Zlatan. I mean, he is superhuman, but yeah, it did look. Liverpool weren't really troubled by him, were they?
No.
And once they got level, it was only going one way.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt anyway.
An impressive win from Liverpool in the circumstances, really, like, because it shows how high their motivation is to go and, like, they clearly really wanted to actually win and get this record.
Yeah.
Like, they could have settled for a draw or just, you know,
it's
taken
true.
It easy, but they went on and got it.
I think we're seeing that more and more, that sort of push and pull between the need to rotate, which is greater than ever after the last year and a half that football has had, and it will be even more important given the timing of the Qatar World Cup and, you know, the way the Premier League schedule is.
Yeah.
Rest is going to be more important than ever. But the fact is, more than ever, the best players don't want to get rested. Because I think if you look at that Liverpool team and then you look at the front
Salah
three...
Salah plays every game. It's like, why have, one, does he?
You kind of look at that. Yeah, it's exactly. It's like Harry Kane in the old days under Pochettino, isn't it? And you think, why have you sort of put that front three on that team? It doesn't seem to make any sense.
It's unbelievable, though. Salah's already scored 20 goals in all competitions this season.
That's like,
I mean, that
Mitrovic
is
numbers.
It's remarkable, though, isn't it? And Jim, you talk about that record. Just to point out what that is, in case anyone didn't know, they've won 6 successive Champions League games for the first time and become the first English team to win all 6 of their Champions League group stage matches.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is amazing. And considering who's in their group, that's what makes it more impressive. This was billed as the group of death coming into the Champions League, and they've absolutely blitzed it.
Yeah, just wiped the floor with it. And it's an obvious thing to say after they've won every game in the group, but they've got to be the favourites at the moment, surely. They've just been absolutely fantastic.
You know what? I think the quality is so high between the top 4 contenders, and I would include Bayern in that as well as City and Chelsea. I think they're really hard to separate. And you know, we were talking about it earlier, weren't we, Jim, in terms of the Premier League, and you were saying maybe one unexpected defeat just does your challenge.
Mm.
And I think that's it. You just think one little slip at any moment and it could be all over,
yeah,
because the competition is so intense between the very best teams.
Yeah. Look, Ibra, last night, I think it was maybe a bit of a reminder, as you've both said, about, you know, him getting on a little bit. But there's been another leak from his book. Apparently, he offered to be PSG's sporting director. Maybe this could be the next stage for him. He said, "I called Nasser Al-Khelaifi, the president, and I suggested to him, if I do not renew my contract with Milan, I'll come to PSG and I'll restore order to your team." Apparently, Nasser laughed, but he didn't actually say no.
Well, you can't say no to Zlatan, can you? The best you can do is laugh and change the subject, surely.
If he said Nasser laughed nervously,
yeah,
maybe that would be more accurate.
You can imagine it.
Can you imagine that? I really want this to happen. Imagine Ibrahimovic coming in to restore order. Beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, there's something they have in France, the sort of symbolic kickoff, where they get a sort of local celebrity or something to do the kickoff before the kickoff. I think that it should be a sort of symbolic appointment as sporting director.
Yeah.
Because as someone who supports a club who had their best ever player appointed as sporting director, the actual bit where they do the job is really disappointing. The bit where they get appointed is, yes, come on, it's amazing. But then if it was the day after, it didn't really happen.
Yeah.
That would be better.
Mm. PSG also won last night. They beat Brugge by 4-1. Really good goals in this one as well. Mbappe with a sensational volley. Messi's first goal as well. But a bit of bad news for Messi. There are reports that he's been ordered to demolish his hotel in Spain, because apparently the balconies are too big. Now, we've all had a little look at this hotel. I'm not going to lie, it wouldn't be the sort of place I'd pick to go on holiday.
It doesn't look that good,
does it? That nice. I was expecting it to be really fancy. And when I heard the balconies are too big, I thought, oh, they're going to be really nice, really plush. Maybe there's going to be like jacuzzis on the balcony or something. Yeah. It looks a bit rubbish.
Yeah, it's
demolish it.
Apparently it's four stars. Doesn't look it, does it?
No.
But don't hotels rate themselves these days? Isn't that the dispute with the star system? I mean, what I imagine.
Or do they come from TripAdvisor?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
What I
Updates
imagine.
Live.
Yeah.
I just have an image in my head of Cristiano Ronaldo with like a virgin cocktail on sort of the 13th floor balcony of the Cristiano Ronaldo Pestana going, yeah, mate, that's the real Ballon d'Or.
Gary Neville just shaking his head in Manchester. That's not how you're supposed to do it.
Oh, dear. Right, that is all for us for now. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to have a look at the Champions League games to come tonight. And we're also going to talk a little bit about this fan-led review, as there is some new reports on it to bring you from yesterday. We'll do that after this.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Tarkovsky stayed forward to head it back, headed out by White, headed back by Tarkovsky. Like head tennis at the
head
minute.
Head tennis here, Donald.
Love a bit of Neil Lennon. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. It is Wednesday. Jules, Jim and Andy here, and it's Wednesday, meaning it's time for Pep Talks.
We are so happy.
We're so happy.
We are so happy. Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy for that.
We are so happy. I'm so happy, believe me. I'm so happy.
Sit down! Nobody talk! Sit down! Wait! Drink water and relax!
100% what happened with Carl Walker yesterday.
It's probably still going on.
Don't forget, you can send in your email, show@footballramble.com, or tweet us @footballramble. Pep Talks is a chance for you to get your problems solved. What have we got today, Jim?
Today, Seb has been in touch and he's saying, I'm writing to you in a desperate plea for help. Since the beginning of December, the residents of one of the apartments across the street from mine have played loud, unrelentingly dramatic, power soprano heavy opera music every night from 12 to 6:30 a.m. In any other situation, I'd leave a passive-aggressive note in the offending party's mailbox and call it a day. Unfortunately, it's impossible to tell which apartment the music is coming from because the building is a block long and four stories high. No. Seriously, this music is so fucking loud and I've reached my wit's end. Earplugs, headphones, pillows, nothing I've tried effectively blocks out the noise and I'm starting to lose hair way faster than usual. I'm ready to take drastic action. Any and all thoughts / advice appreciated. You've got to make a noise complaint at this point, right? To make it the council's problem to determine where the noise is coming from, surely.
I was going to say, normally we come up with some joke answers, but I think this is actually a genuinely serious problem. Yeah. I'd go to the police.
Yeah, like it's mad. Although the fear is, this sounds a bit Sopranos, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it sounds a bit like you might be messing with some quite hard people who might be testing you.
What, because of the operatic
level
of the music? I would say fight fire with fire. There's a theme tune that I think that sort of soft, loud dynamic really works. Pretty much like, you know, that's why Nirvana was so successful, isn't it? I think play the theme tune to Pep Talks on a loop very loudly out of your window at different hours, maybe starting at 6:30 a.m.
Yeah.
See how they like it.
When they go to bed, you start blasting them with your own music.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all about timing.
It's an interesting choice of music as well,
it
isn't
is,
it?
Yeah.
It makes me wonder.
Who's having like
a six and a half hour
opera party at night?
Evanescence?
Possibly.
Let us know how this goes, Seb.
Yeah.
I'm so intrigued.
I'd actually take this to the authorities.
Yeah.
I'd go for it.
Grass.
Yeah.
Beer grass.
Beer grass. Go on, son.
Are you trying to finish this feature by giving a serious answer?
Yeah, I'm
sorry.
I know.
With you guys?
Sorry, Jim, what's happened to us?
I don't know.
Go on, Andy, what else we got?
Is it like the bit where it talks about the sort of accelerated boldness? Is this is serious? We've got to deal with this.
You start, I don't know, start posting your hair through everyone's letterboxes. So, look what you're doing to me. It's too big, don't it? It's too much.
Post a shit through the letterbox. That's
worse. All that, all that. Easier to make. So.
Oh, it depends how many you have a day. It might take a while.
Again, enough with the serious answers.
Yeah.
We've got one from Chris here, emailing in from Sunny Inverness with an urgent question.
Don't believe that.
I heard about the Spurs fan who travelled all the way from Dallas only to rock up to Turf Moor and find an impenetrable layer of snow. Yeah, there were two of them, weren't there? I was also a victim in all of this. The day before, I caught five different modes of transport to get down to the game from Inverness and catch one of the very few northernish games I could get tickets for. The thing is, unlike my American rival, I haven't got Harry Kane piping up offering to host me next time I'm down in London. So I need to find a Spurs player I can target for another gesture of kindness. Who would you suggest I go after for some free tickets?
This did really make me laugh when I read this because it's so true. There would have been loads of other people in the same boat that had travelled for ages or had had these tickets specially bought for, you know, a special occasion or whatever it might be. They didn't get a free offer for the next game, did they?
Exactly. And I think we have to point out that it's bloody difficult to get to Burnley, even if you're coming from London.
Yeah.
For all those Spurs fans, you're not getting there and back in a day unless you take the club coach.
Yeah, they should really lay that on for someone. To answer his question, everyone likes England players now, right? The John Terry days are long gone, so everyone wants to be part of the feel good England crew. I reckon target Eric Dyer because he'll want to get back in that squad. He'll want to be like, look, I'm cool and nice as well. Yeah. I'll jump about in the swimming pool on a unicorn. Come on.
I was thinking the same thing, but from a slightly different angle. Like target one of the bench players who want to raise their profile in front of the new coach. I reckon Harry Winks is your one.
Yeah.
Is he on Twitter?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. He's definitely on Instagram.
Right, okay.
I would say go for a player who's like not getting in the team much. Because their family probably don't fancy going because they're not going to see them play. So they'll have some spares. They'll have some spares going, won't they?
Are you thinking Gio Lo Celso or someone like that?
Yeah. Well, just anyone who's just not really getting in at the moment.
Well, even players whose families do go to all the games, they're not necessarily going to Burnley away at midday on, you know, or now midweek.
It'll be
sort of reorganised, won't it?
So. Yeah. There you go. Hopefully that helps.
Go
guys.
For those complimentaries.
Yeah. I think we've answered both of those quite seriously.
I think we have. Yeah.
What's wrong with us? We're getting too serious. Right. If you've got any more questions or anything you'd like us to solve for you, then it doesn't matter what it is, however bizarre, send them in. We'll get them to you every single Wednesday. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. Right, from actual serious answers to that, we're actually going to talk about something a bit more serious now because I think it needs to be done. We're yet to talk about this fan-led review, which is being chaired by Tracy Crouch. Now, the review was announced back in April this year. It was all after the European Super League debacle happened. And what she's trying to do is she's looking into how she can improve governance, ownership and financial stability within the football pyramid. It's something that's really important and something that certainly needs to be done. Now, this review was published a few weeks ago, so there's been quite a lot of talk about it, but we haven't had the chance to really get into it. And there was a committee meeting yesterday, and Tracy Crouch, who chaired it, was speaking in front of the committee about the findings. And there's a couple of things that she's pointed out. The primary recommendation really is that there needs to be an independent regulator for English football. And the second thing is that she believes there should be taxes on transfers in the Premier League. What are your thoughts on this, guys? Let's start off with you, Andy.
I think an independent regulator is an absolute must. And the thing that Christian Perslow was saying recently about it killing the golden goose. I mean,
it's very telling, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you look at the level of clubs. I mean, the main ones, maybe I'm missing something here, but the main executives that I remember criticising this or I've seen criticising this are Christian Perslow and Angus Kinnear at Leeds. And you always find, I think, the clubs that are most keen to keep the status quo, who don't want to give away anything, are those mid-level clubs who, you know, justify their existence through the Premier League money. And like this idea, this extremely patronising idea of fans just don't get it. They don't get any part of the business stuff. You know, we're not normal people. We're financial geniuses sent by God to run this game. It's just outrageous. I just find it so obnoxious. And we've seen with fan-led projects like all over the UK that in every supporter base, there are people with ideas, with varied talents, people from loads of different work backgrounds, and more importantly, with the best interests of their club and the game at heart. People who understand that as supporters, there are more things that unite us than divide us, and that it is possible to work together rather than this sort of divide and conquer attitude that I feel is fostered sometimes. You know, like when you get, a Manchester City fan going, oh, I got charged 62 quid for an away ticket at Arsenal the other day. And then you'll get an Arsenal fan go, don't criticise my club. That can't be right, fostering that attitude. And I feel that's what the atmosphere around the top of the game does sometimes. We should be working together to get the best for us as supporters. And, you know, you have Fair Game, for example, the organisation that's getting loads of clubs together, and they've got loads of Football League clubs involved already to try and do something to make the game more equitable and to get fans to work together. I think that there are clubs, and we can see that from what one, some of their executives are saying, who don't want that.
Yeah, she said that she's optimistic, though, that an independent regulator could be appointed as soon as the 2023-2024 season, which we're only a couple of years away from now. We know how quickly that time will go. Mm. But she did admit that she expects that there will be a lot of Premier League clubs pushing back on this. And, yeah. and you know, it, they'll back hard on any regulator that would be backed by legislation. What are your thoughts, Jim?
I think she's played a blinder on that, because this was always going to happen, wasn't it? There's always going to be pushback, and she's essentially been so prepared for it. I mean, as Annie's touched on, Christian Perslow said there was a danger of killing the golden goose. I think his exact quote was, danger here is killing the golden goose if we over-regulate a highly successful financial and commercial operation. And essentially, he's just looking at the top end, isn't he? He's looking at the Premier League.
I'm just giggling because I did have to ask the boys what killing the golden goose actually meant. I'm really rubbish when it comes to these expressions.
We did explain it to Jules' listeners without actually killing any geese.
Yeah.
We've got to underline
that. I explained it by saying it was like killing a cash cow, which just moved the problem along.
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because they are arguing to just maintain the status quo, keep the rich rich, and, you know, who cares about everyone else down the bottom, which I imagine Tracy Crouch gets a lot of at work as well, given her party. But the key thing that she's making the point of is that it's not a government regulator, it's an independent regulator.
Yeah.
And that is, I think that's part of what complicates it, isn't it? Because the Premier League are going to go, well, how are you going to decide who this regulator is? How are you going to make up the team that does that? But I think a Leeds chief executive, like, not seeing how this could benefit football is insane to me. If you look at what happened to them, like, they are the example of what happens when something like this isn't in place. They are the example of why this is needed.
Mm.
And it's astonishing to me. It's not surprising, but I think she's doing a fantastic job of just being ready with these arguments and being ready with these to come back from these criticisms.
Absolutely. And the other proposal is a transfer tax, as I mentioned, which could see as much as 10% taxed on all Premier League deals, with the money redistributed down the pyramid.
Well, this is the problem for them, isn't it?
That to me sounds like a great deal, because, like, 10% I don't think is a huge thing for those clubs, but it could make an enormous difference to the clubs further down.
Mm.
It could. I think when you're looking at transfer fees going up, though, the top clubs will be looking at, like, the Jack Grealish style transfer. Mm-hmm. That adds a fair whack on that. I wonder if she's deliberately gone in quite high. So to negotiate
so
down.
That if there's, of course. Well, that's how all good business deals are done,
would be good,
isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
100%. It's also worth pointing out that those aren't the only two things. There are lots of other proposals within this fan-led review, including consulting fans on decisions, preserving club heritage, equality and diversity within clubs and governance, and also more being done to protect players who leave the game once their careers are over, or if they're ended shortly due to injury or whatever it might be. So, look, it's a really important thing, and we will continue to discuss this, because this will continue to gather pace as the time goes on. So we'll keep bringing you our opinions on this, and feel free to share yours as well. You know how to get in touch with us, show@footballramble.com. More football to come tonight, though. So, Champions League games, more to look forward to. We've got Zenit taking on Chelsea. That one's an early kickoff because it's away from home. Chelsea and Man United are guaranteed to progress. They're already through, but Chelsea aren't actually sure of a top spot yet, Andy. They'll need to beat Zenit. And even if they win by one goal, Juve would need to win by more than eight against Malmo.
Yeah, I'm co-commentating on this.
Ooh.
And it's funny, actually, because...
Are you off tube for this? Are you in a room somewhere?
Yes.
Giving away the secrets of how co-commentary works. You're not going out to Russia.
We're actually doing this ramble from St. Petersburg, ladies and gentlemen. Lovely view of the lake from the Gazprom Arena. I just think it is easy to overlook that. The fact that Chelsea... They're going to need to win, because there's no way Juventus aren't beating Malmo. Malmo won the Swedish title at the weekend, and if you saw the party, I'm interested to see what sort of shape they're going to turn up in. And given that there's a class gap anyway, and Zenit were pretty good, I thought, at Stamford Bridge. They're perennially underwhelming in the Champions League, but they should have got a draw in that first game. Artem Zubia missed an absolute sitter. So Chelsea do have to go and win this. Then again, you had Thomas Tuchel talking a lot in the last week about the schedule and the schedule being what it is. I wouldn't criticise him for that. I think he's absolutely right. Everyone's in the same boat. But how much does he rotate? It's like the question before Liverpool last night.
Quite a lot.
Now you do. I agree. And you do think that, you know, any team that Chelsea put out should be able to win this game. But in a season where I think finishing top of your Champions League group really matters, because generally there's quite a gap between the first and the second teams in terms of quality. That's the way it's panning out. Yeah, I think Chelsea need to go and win this. And it's easy to forget, because they were so good against Juventus, that they do still have a little bit of work to do.
Yeah, they've been brought down to earth ever so slightly in the last couple of weeks, haven't they, Jim? With a couple of, I wouldn't say poor, but not
by
as
their own
good
standards, though, definitely. Like, bit flat, bit underwhelming.
And a little bit in the midfield as well.
Well,
you know?
They seem to be, as each day goes by, the midfield collapses a little bit more. It's Kovacic isn't available now. Kovacic, Kante and Jorginho all unavailable. Like, that's going to cause anyone problems. I know they've got the depth with, you know, Loftus-Cheek, and maybe Ross Barkley can come in. There are players that can, there are bodies, certainly. But
there's a drop-off.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There is a drop-off. And this isn't the sort of game where you need that, because it is a tricky one. There is something riding on it. Although, you know, well, I guess, you know, if they don't win it, it could be a bit of a problem for them, as you say. So it can be a real test of Tuchel's ability to tinker and you know, kind of patch together a functioning team.
Did you say
a test of Tuchel's ability to tinker? You carried that off brilliantly.
You did that. You smashed that, mate. You absolutely nailed that. Barcelona against Bayern. This is huge for Barcelona. They lost their first match under Xavi at the weekend, Andy. This one is going to be behind closed doors, because it's in Germany, isn't it, this one?
Yeah, there are only certain parts of Germany that are behind closed doors, but Bavaria is one of them.
So this is very similar circumstances to the 8-2, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose.
So that's do you think they'll get in their heads a little bit, like the lack of fans? Like,
are you going to be texting Xavi after this? Don't want to freak you out, but
I do not have Xavi's number.
It's crazy to think, though, that Barcelona could be in the Europa League.
Yeah,
that's really.
I'm kind of hoping
deserve.
For it, because it I cover fun. The Europa League for BT, and I'm going to be at the West Ham game tomorrow. And
you know, you're saying Barcelona's more fun than West Ham?
Well, we're just excited to see who West Ham could potentially
West Ham
be drawn.
Versus Barcelona.
Can you imagine that? David Moyes
sticking the boot into Barca.
It would be amazing.
West Ham very capable of beating them
at the moment.
This season. So,
but will they be, Andy, or do you think that they'll manage to somehow get something out of this game?
The only way that they get through is if Benfica balls it up, and there's a lot of pressure on Jorge Jesus at Benfica at the moment. That's the other side of it, because they lost the Lisbon derby at the weekend as well. So basically, if Benfica win, they're going through, because there's no way, whatever team Bayern put out, there is no way Barcelona are winning there.
Yeah. Okay, right, that is all for us today. Thank you for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Andy is somehow going to get from here to Russia and then back tomorrow to do another Football Ramble. It's just, I mean, you're an absolute ledge. How are you doing it?
Get me an upgrade.
Andy's back tomorrow. He's going to be here with Pete and Marcus to go over all of last night's Champions League games and to look forward to what's coming up in the Europa League as well. Jim, good to see you as always, mate. And thanks to you guys for listening. We'll see you later.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.